From Greenville, South Carolina, we present Let the Bible Speak. Let the Bible Speak is the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, preaching Christ in all his fullness.
Welcome once again to Let the Bible Speak, featuring the recorded messages of Dr. Alan Cairns, Minister Emeritus of Faith Free Presbyterian Church in Greenville, South Carolina. On today's broadcast, Dr. Cairns continues his series of studies in Psalm 119. The subject of the psalm is the Word of God. In this series, Dr. Cairns is focusing on verses 9 through 16 as he expounds the theme of living clean in an unclean world. Dr. Cairns will be with us shortly. First, we invite you to enjoy this brief devotional thought from C.H. Spurgeon's collection called Faith's Checkbook. Our devotional for today is entitled, The Overcomer. The text is Revelation chapter 2 and verse 7. To him that overcometh will I give to eat of the tree of life, which is in the midst of the paradise of God. No man may turn his back in the day of battle or refuse to go to the holy war. We must fight if we would reign, and we must carry on the warfare till we overcome every enemy, or else this promise is not for us, since it is only for him that overcometh. We are to overcome the false prophets who have come into the world and all the evils which accompany their teaching. We are to overcome our own faintness of heart and tendency to decline from our first love. Read the whole of the Spirit's word to the church at Ephesus. If by grace we win the day, as we shall if we truly follow our conquering leader, then we shall be admitted to the very center of the paradise of God and shall be permitted to pass by the cherub and his flaming sword and come to that guarded tree whereof if a man eat, he shall live forever. We shall thus escape that endless death which is the doom of sin, and gain that everlasting life which is the seal of innocence, the outgrowth of the immortal principles of godlike holiness. Come, my heart, pluck up courage. To flee the conflict will be to lose the joys of the new and better Eden. To fight unto victory is to walk with God in paradise.
Thank you.
What is revival? Is it a week of special meetings held at a local church? Is it an organized effort at door-to-door evangelism? Down through the centuries, there have been remarkable visitations of God during which thousands were gloriously saved. Times such as the Protestant Reformation, the revivals in England under John Wesley and George Whitefield, the Great Awakening in America associated with Jonathan Edwards, were times of genuine spiritual revival. The common factor in all of these events was an undeniable demonstration of the power of God rather than the ingenuity of man. In the late 1940s and early 50s, such a revival occurred on the Isle of Lewis, off the west coast of Scotland. In the course of several years, hundreds of people were converted to Christ, and many churches were built to take care of them. Again, the Holy Spirit of God came down in power. The preacher during those days was the Reverend Duncan Campbell. Yet what took place on Lewis was not due to his pulpit oratory, but to the overwhelming moving of God among the people. Strong men, hardened sinners who had mocked the preacher, were suddenly struck to their knees by the roadside under conviction of sin. Young people in a local dance hall left their frivolity and ran to the churches, crying for mercy upon their souls. Let the Bible Speak is pleased to make available CD copies of the personal testimonies of people who came to salvation during those revival times on the Isle of Lewis. Also, we offer a CD containing Duncan Campbell's own account of that remarkable visitation of God. The CDs are $5 each, which includes postage and handling, or you may order both CDs for just $8. To obtain your own copy, you may simply send a check for either or both CDs to Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. Just request the CDs of the revival on the Isle of Lewis. If you wish, you may email us at info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. If you wish, you may telephone us toll-free at 866-877-LTBS. That's 866-877-5827. You will be blessed greatly as you listen to these accounts of the power of God at work. Today, Dr. Cairns brings the final portion of the seventh in a series of messages on the theme, Living Clean in an Unclean World. The text for the series is Psalm 119, verse 9 through 16. In this message, Having Victory in Our Thought Life, Dr. Cairns has been dealing with verse 15,
I will meditate in thy precepts and have respect unto thy ways. The emphasis is on the believer's thought life. In commencing this message, Dr. Caron spoke of the action of godly thinking. The psalmist said, I will meditate. Meditation is simply spending time pondering what we read in God's Word. Then Dr. Caron's discussed the direction of godly thinking. The focus of the psalmist's meditation was God's precepts, or God's law. As Dr. Caron's has shown, there are a number of reasons why this should be the practice of every believer. For the law of God was given to guard us, to guide us, to govern us, and to gratify us. It is as we meditate upon God's law that we learn of His holiness, which is a transcript of His character. Finally, Dr. Caron speaks of the production of godly thinking. When our thoughts are focused upon God and His Word, it will produce holy living and glorify our Heavenly Father. And now to bring God's Word for today, here is Dr. Alan Caron's.
You'll get to know God as you meditate on the transcript of His character. The law shows the holy character of God. And thank God it shows the grace of God. That may sound strange. Some people see no grace at all in law. Well, if it's a covenant of life, there's no grace. If it's do this and you live, that's not grace. But the grace of God seen in the law is that God not only said this is the standard of acceptance with God, but He sent His Son to fulfill the standard. And when you study the law, you must never study it apart from Christ. When you study the righteousness of the law, you must never study it apart from Him who is our righteousness. He fulfilled all righteousness. When I come to the law, as I pointed out in a former study, I look at Deuteronomy chapter 10 and I see God said, you take two tables. The first ones were broken in your hand. Bring these to me and I will rewrite them. Place them in the ark. That ark is Christ. And in Him resides the unbroken and perfect law of God. I will meditate in thy precepts. Is there anything can gratify the heart of a Christian more than seeing Christ as his righteousness? Seeing that Christ has fulfilled the law of God for me, and in doing so He has provided for me a seamless, spotless robe of righteousness, the garments of salvation. God's law, I will meditate. This is the direction we read this morning in Philippians chapter 4. Here's what a Christian should be thinking about. Whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue, if there be any praise. Now let me ask you, is there anything of which those descriptions are more apt than God's law? Especially when you see that law fulfilled in the gospel of Jesus Christ. These are things that delight. Christian, I would to God we could get away from thinking of God's law as some repressive force. How the devil has sold this lie that God's law is some repressive force meant to take the joy out of life. Far from it. It's to guard us, it's to guide us, it's to govern us, and it's to gratify us, to give us a joy and a peace, a delight in Christian living. That leads me to the final consideration. That's the production of godly thinking. Verse 15b, I will have respect unto thy ways. This is the result of the meditation. Now, the word respect simply means I will see. But in this particular mood of the verb, it denotes I will have regard to. Do you remember when Samuel was sent to select one of Jesse's sons to be king? And he saw one and then he saw another and he was impressed by the physique, etc., of David's sons. And the Lord said, 1 Samuel 16:7, man looketh upon the outward appearance, God looks on the heart. This is the word he used. The Lord has regard not to the appearance. David learned this well, for he said that the Lord does not respect or have any particular admiration for the legs of a man. In other words, it's not his physical physique, it's not his physical strength, it's not his athletic ability, it's not his human characteristics. No. He has regard to what's in the heart. Actually, that's a challenge. First of all, it tells me God sees what's in the heart. I don't see what's in your heart. I mean, I've had people come up there, look me right in the face, up close and personal, with a smile, and say some wonderful things and go out and lie about me, and if they could have felt free to curse, they'd have done it. But as far as the effect was concerned, it was a curse. And I have no doubt you have had the same thing. I can only see the face. But God sees what's in the heart. And however good the outward show, he says, it doesn't impress me. What I have regard to is godliness in the heart. Psalm 51. What does the Lord look for? Truth in the inward parts. That's what God requires. Truth in the inward parts. Remember what he said to Amos, or through Amos, should I say, to his people? Though you offer me, Amos 5:22, though you offer me burnt offerings and your meat offerings, I will not accept them. Neither will I, here's the word, regard the peace offerings of your fat beasts. This is the meaning then of this word. I will have respect. I will have regard to thy ways. The word ways would mean simply what it says, ways or paths. Sometimes it can mean a barrier. And that may not be a bad idea to keep in mind here. I will have regard to God's ways. I will take note of the barriers that God puts up. The psalmist prayed, Psalm 24 and 5, show me thy ways, O Lord. Teach me thy paths. And this is the word he's talking about. Again, Psalm 27, 11, he prays again, teach me thy way, O Lord. Lead me in a plain or a right path because of mine enemy. Now, here's the meaning of the text then. As my thoughts are guarded and guided and governed by the word of God, I will live with godly regard to God's ways. Now again, I'm going to make the point. Anybody who's saved, wants to live with a godly regard to God's ways. Anybody who doesn't want to live with a godly regard to God's ways still lacks God's salvation. So how can we actually live with a godly regard to the Lord's ways? How can we walk God's path, what David calls a right path? in the face of our enemies. That the psalmist says are many and strong. How can we walk our right path? By winning the battle of the mind. If you're going to walk clean in this unclean world, full circle now, if you're going to walk clean in this unclean world, you start with a clean mind. And don't kid yourself when I say a clean mind. Don't pride yourself, well, I'm not into pornography. I'm not into perversion. If you're not, thank God, for that is a curse and a pest throughout the whole visible church. Male and female, by the way. But if you're not into that, don't kid yourself that that means you have a clean mind. I've talked about self-centeredness. I've talked about baseless suspicion of God's people. Gossip and bitterness and anger. Things that fill the mind. Then get out in the life. That's an unclean mind. If we're going to live godly in this present world, it starts with winning the battle for the mind. And winning the battle for the mind depends on meditation in thy precepts. That leads to respect, regard for thy ways. I finish with the words of Proverbs chapter 4, verse 25 and 26. Note them well, take them with you, attach them to this text. Let thine eyes look right on. And let thine eyelids look straight before thee. Mark this carefully. Ponder the paths of thy feet. And let all thy ways be established. Ponder the paths of thy feet. In the vernacular, stop and think where you're going. Stop and consider what you're doing. Now get back to the text. Bring it all down to God's word. Let's make this our honest commitment to Christ this morning. I will meditate in thy precepts, and I will have respect unto thy ways.
You've been listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. We hope you've enjoyed and benefited from today's program. We're here as your servants for Christ's sake. If we can be of any further help to you in the things of the Lord, we invite you to contact us. If you would like to receive our booklet, Separated Unto the Gospel, a booklet that sets forth the beliefs and standards of the Free Presbyterian Church, you may have a copy free of charge, simply for the asking. Our mailing address is Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road,
Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. Our email address is info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. If you would like to learn more about the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, or if you'd like to see if there is a free church in your area, we invite you to visit our website, www.fpcna.org. That's www.fpcna.org. On behalf of Dr. Alan Cairns, this is Charles Kelch saying thank you for listening and inviting you to join us again as we Let the Bible Speak.